Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 47 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Our main story? The closest thing we have to a giant laboratory for studying coronavirus is Iceland. The tiny, isolated nation has some of the perfect conditions for observing and tracking the spread of COVID-19, including a public that trusts its government. The research the government has done there is already informing the rest of the world. But first, here's what happened today. In the U.S., calculations about when and how to ease up on social distancing measures have been left almost entirely to states. Some states have already taken steps toward reopening. Today, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, in a controversial move, allowed barbershops, bowling alleys, and other high-contact businesses to open up again. But in New York State, the location hardest hit by the virus, Governor Andrew Cuomo announced a more cautious roadmap toward restarting some economic activity. In a briefing over the weekend, Cuomo talked about a phased-in reopening that could start as soon as May 15th. It would begin with construction and manufacturing companies. This comes as deaths in the state drop to their lowest level in almost a month. New hospitalizations and intensive cases continue to fall. While the governor said the worst was over, it is clear the state has a long way to go before returning to normal. On Monday, officials announced they would cancel the state's presidential primary, scheduled for June. When the U.S. Small Business Administration's loan program reopened today, after a fresh cash infusion, almost immediately it became impossible for lenders to use the government system. A flood of applications caused the system to crash as early as 4 minutes after it opened up, Bloomberg News reported. The SBA hopes to help mom-and-pop shops access a larger share of the new loan money than in the first round of funding. They're doing this by capping the amount of loan relief banks are allowed to process. Advocates of small businesses were concerned the biggest banks could dominate disbursement of the $320 billion in loans and keep mom-and-pop shops from getting access. There was an uproar when the program first launched after big national chains, including Potbelly Corporation and the operator of Ruth's Chris Steakhouses, landed $10 million or more apiece in loans, thanks to a loophole. Millions of very small businesses, on the other hand, were left stranded when the program ran out of money. Countries in Europe are pushing ahead with steps to relax lockdowns that slowed the spread of the coronavirus. That's despite concerns these moves could backfire. Switzerland on Monday allowed an array of retailers, as well as tattoo studios, to open their doors. The Swiss flocked to gardening stores to catch up on spring planting. France and Spain may outline more steps toward relaxing restrictions on Tuesday. And now, our main story. Iceland has become one of the best places in the world to study COVID-19. That's because the country is an island nation with only one real port of entry and a small population. It also introduced widespread testing as soon as the virus arrived in March. Now, Iceland has become a real-world coronavirus laboratory, and its work over the last few months is starting to produce results. Bloomberg reporter Kristen V. Brown traveled to Reykjavik, Iceland, just as the global scale of the pandemic was starting to become clear. She has more on what the Nordic nation has since learned about how the virus moves through a population.
In early March, I was in Reykjavik, sitting in the office of Kári Stefánsson, the founder of this pioneering population genetics firm, Decode. I was there reporting a podcast about fertility, and Kári just couldn't stay on topic. He was pretty distracted. His phone was ringing nonstop. People kept knocking on the door.
Let me tell you why I'm struggling a little bit with this discussion. Because we are now facing a viral epidemic, which is going to have historic impact. And because it looks like this is going to be the first time in history of mankind where an epidemic like this spreads to entire species in a very, very short period of time. And it looks like it's going to have a very serious impact on the function of our nations.
This was about a week before the U.S. had declared a state of emergency. Big outbreaks of the virus were still limited to a handful of countries, including China and Italy. And Iceland only had 3 cases, all people returning from a ski holiday. But Kauri was already mobilizing. He wanted to test everyone in the country for COVID-19, or at least anyone who had so much as the sniffles.
I have to talk to the Surgeon General because she has to clear, she has to approve of us stepping in. You see, what is missing all over the world is enough screening. So what we are going to do is call in everyone who has signed of upper respiratory infection, all of those with flu and cold and whatever, and screen them to figure out how the virus is spreading in society. And since there is only one doorway into Iceland, we have an incredible opportunity to figure out how the epidemic is spreading between people. And that is what we need to know.
A few minutes later, the phone rang. It was Iceland's director of health, Alma Möller.
Heyrðu, Alma, við heldum fund í morgun.
Is everything okay? Or are they going to let you do the...
They will let us do it. Nothing else makes sense.
I was the rare witness to how fast things moved in Iceland. In the course of a one-hour interview, Kauri asked the director of health for permission to launch a massive testing effort, and got it. A month and a half later, Iceland has one of the most robust testing programs in the world. To date, it has tested more than 46,000 residents. That's nearly 13% of its population. In contrast, New York, which has a more aggressive testing effort than any other U.S. state, has tested just over 4%. Turning Iceland into a laboratory has yielded real results. The nation has more than 1,700 people who have tested positive for the virus, which is a lot for a small country. But authorities say they feel like it's now under control. That's because the number of new infections each day has been steadily decreasing since the beginning of April. Just a handful of other countries have seen such a significant decline in cases. Recently, I called up Kauri to talk about how things were going.
We have not taken any of these draconic measures that other nations have done. We have not closed our borders. We have kept our elementary school and childcare center open. We have kept the stores open. We have put a ban on the gathering of more than 20 people, and we have encouraged people to keep a social distance of 2 meters and encourage people to work as much from home as possible. And the consequence of this has been that we have the epidemic under control.
Iceland has also created an app that lets people know if they've come into contact with someone who has the virus. But the value of Iceland's efforts aren't just in demonstrating how an aggressive testing program can really slow the spread of the virus. It's also helped researchers understand how the virus spreads. Iceland is basically the size of a really robust scientific study, and DECODE has taken advantage of that. Kauri says that DECODE has been able to trace the origins of every single case of the virus in the country, how the virus has changed, and how it spreads from one person to another.
So if Peter is diagnosed and he has been in contact with Mary and John, we can determine whether he was infected by Mary or John by having the sequence of the virus in all 3 of them. It is really gives you an effective way of confirming the way in which the virus is moving in society.
Iceland is also one of the few countries that from the get-go prioritized screening not just sick people, but healthy ones too. This has led to some really important insights into how the virus operates. For example, screening people without any symptoms revealed that asymptomatic people play a big part in spreading COVID-19. Researchers also identified almost 300 mutations that haven't yet been seen anywhere else in the world. Viral mutations help scientists understand things like how likely someone is to get reinfected, why some people get so much sicker than others, and how the virus spreads. Ragnhildur Sigurðardóttir is a freelance reporter for Bloomberg in Reykjavik. She says that part of the reason Iceland's response has been so successful is that almost everybody trusts the government.
And there's been a lot of trust in the health authorities in Iceland, how they're tackling this. So I would say, you know, Icelanders are, we're a little bit used to ups and downs. And even though this is a different kind of, you know, of a crisis, we are also used to, we had a financial crisis 10 years ago. We are used to having volcanoes that, you know, blow up on us. So I think the nation is kind of taking this as a as another task like that, in a way.
Ragnhildur herself got tested through Decode, Kauri's company.
Show up, it was very quick, almost like just walking through, they put the swab up your nose and you're done. And I got the results within a few hours. So I was very impressed, in fact.
For contrast, in the US, at the height of our testing crisis, it often took weeks to return results. It usually still takes days. Now, Iceland is tiny. It's much easier to test huge percentages of the population when your country is smaller than a city like Oakland, where I live. Still, this kind of information can help public health efforts better hone in on how the virus might spread anywhere. The number of silent carriers, for example, suggests widespread testing of those with and without symptoms may be necessary to control the disease. Decode's parent company, the pharmaceutical giant Amgen, is working on developing novel coronavirus treatments that use antibodies to attack the virus. Decode's research will also inform that work, providing genetic insights from patients who were previously infected. So much about this virus is still a mystery, though. Decode has its work cut out for it.
You realize, you know, I have been working on all kinds of diseases, trying to figure out the pathogenesis of all kinds of diseases for about 40, 45 years, all right? And all of a sudden, into my life falls a disease where all of the questions are unanswered. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of this famine, there is a feast for me, all right?
Kauri says that Iceland's real strength is that it pooled all of its resources to tackle this crisis.
I can tell you that everyone is pulling together. I can tell you that when we ran out of swabs, I got phone call from the CEOs of God knows how many companies in Iceland asking me whether we could use their connection in the world to find swabs for us. Just yesterday, there was a shipment of a large number of respirators to Iceland because there were 14 companies in Iceland who used their connection to find respirators that are so hard to come by these days. The whole community is turning its back together, and it is beautiful. We are an unruly nation of scandalists who cannot find ease when things are going well. But when there is a crisis, we are better than any other nation in the world.
There have been critics who think that Iceland has not been aggressive enough. That, like many places, they should have shut down schools and stores and restaurants. But in the midst of a global pandemic, Iceland has shown that a tiny island nation in the middle of the Atlantic can teach the rest of the world a lesson or two.
That was Bloomberg reporter Kristen V. Brown. And that's our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And of course, if you appreciate the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is hosted by me, Laura Carlson. The show was produced by me, Topher Forges, Jordan Gaspure, and Magnus Henriksen. Today's main story was reported by Kristen V. Brown. Original music by Leo Sidran. Our editors are Francesca Levy and Rick Schein. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.